No. The question is, if Adam named all the animals, did he name also all the subspecies, including the little microbes? Well, I'm not convinced that Adam was a biologist. But when he gave the animals their name, whatever animals he gave, the names that he gave them, we know to this day were given by him to them. I think that he did not give all of the subspecies, but I do think he gave the names to the major animals that were there. To go subspecies or microbes, I don't think was necessary unless he had a microscope. Most of the names, in fact, we have in this century alone developed, a lot of names that we have today were developed in this century that were never known. But many of the names of the animals that we do have been known for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And where did they come from? It came from a central source of knowledge that he calls all things by name. To show that when he created Adam with the ability to perceive the actual nature, and the names that were given to each animal or each species was given to identify their nature. And this shows the remarkable created knowledge that was built within Adam. And how many know that when he was told to produce and multiply, that ability is in the DNA code, which means every one of us have the ability to perceive into the nature of things. But most of us don't, do we? But we have that ability, and it's been through Christ's redemption, we have that knowledge restored, whereby we're enabled to understand the nature of things. But most Christians today don't understand anything of what's going on because we don't grasp the fact that we've been redeemed in this area, that we have a right to see perceptively and therefore distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
What about dinosaurs?
What about dinosaurs?
If they were here before Adam.
They were here before Adam, during Adam, and after Adam. Most dinosaurs were destroyed in Genesis 1-2 in the worldwide flood. The rest of the dinosaurs that were created, which are the behemoths or the beasts that were created on the fifth day that you find in Genesis 1, and those mammoth animals who lived during the days of Adam were extinct. Most of them who lived in the North and South Pole when the vapor or water canopy collapsed on the earth, froze them instantly. In some of the lush areas of the world, in the equatorial section, there are, in fact, I don't know how many of you saw this or not, there was an archaeology program on TV about 2 weeks ago, and it showed some actual live monsters that are at least 5,500 to 6,500 years old on this island, and evidently they've been there all this time, and it definitely predates the flood of Noah. These animals are still here. They've actually uncovered a portion of the animals that they thought were totally extinct, and these are the actual living animals of that which in museums you find the bones to that they claim were pre-man, and of course these things are during the course of man. We find that, for instance, you take a reptile, a dinosaur, which is part of the reptile family, that a reptile, for some reason, in one sense of the word, there's a form of reptile that never dies. It just continually gets larger. In other words, they know that it takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for a small lizard to grow into a very large dinosaur. So that many of them that are large because they've been around for a long time. And they just don't seem to die, which is an interesting concept that science has come up with. The point is that if there were some small ones back in the days of Noah, well, they should be quite large today. But because of civilization, there's not much around. Science has come up with a new theory. In fact, they've got two theories they're working on. And one of them is that they were all blasted by a meteor shower that predated man by millions of years. Because they want to prove that dinosaurs were not contemporaneous with man, because the Bible teaches that they were contemporaneous with man. And how many know you don't need an evolutionary theory to prove reality? When you find, like in the down in Texas, I believe it's Palexus River, where they found dinosaur tracks and male and man tracks simultaneously side by side in the same area, showing that man and beast lived together. Alley-oop. Probably was Adam, you know, without the bathing suit, of course. But I believe, and by the way, these animals are not flesh-eating. They're vegetarians, meaning that they're harmless, and they're peaceful, and they're loving. And so these were probably pets in the Garden of Eden. They probably had played with brontosaurus or whatever it was, you know. And I believe that those days will come again. That's pretty, you know, you can have your little dog. I'll have my 10-story brontosaurus.
What about the flesh eaters, Easter Island, the giant lizards that they call dragons?
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's flesh eaters too, but you've got to remember that flesh eaters, I believe, came after the fall. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the whole creation became cursed, fell under a curse, fell under a death threat as the result of the fall of Adam. We don't realize that at one point this earth was originally created under the glory of Father. When man fell, creation fell. That's why when man is redeemed, creation is redeemed. In other words, not only are we going to get our glorified bodies, but we're going to find that earth is going to be glorified also once again. He's going to remove the curse. Well, the curse was not laid just upon man. It also came upon man's environment, you see. And so with the cleansing of man comes the cleansing of the earth. That means that death eating animals, like it says in Isaiah, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. You're going to find what is today flesh destroying will go back to their original habitat, which I believe was a peaceful creature. And we're going to see earth as it originally was. Most people have no concept of how earth really was. We just figured that it's always been this way. Well, remember that death is not Father's eternal process. And when he created everything in his image, in the sense that it was designed for peace, it was designed for life. There was no death on this planet at all in its original condition. Think about that. I mean, everything dies today. Grass dies. There's coming a day in which grass will never die. Isn't that amazing? Somebody says, you mean we have to have lawnmowers in the millennium? Well, no, because you see, grass, if it is glorified grass, will not grow to an obnoxious weed state, because the weed state is part of the curse. When the curse is removed, you're going to have perpetual green. You will not have the death process in what is now known as the four seasons. That's part of our redemptive program in Christ. This earth is going to be restored by His power and by and through us. And so that is exciting, and why the Bible says all creation waits for the day of the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. Yes?
Okay. It's like a two-parter. Chickens are supposedly evolved from reptiles because they have the tail. This is what they're saying, like, this is what they're teaching, that they're part of from the reptilian family. But if you're talking about like these other reptiles that evolved, they got bigger, 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 that's a form of evolution in itself, isn't it? They changed and grew. Not that they weren't originally created in one way, but as they have grown and they changed.
The word.
We've got your question on the tape.
What was the question? No, I got the answer. I just need to reframe the question.
The question was, what about chickens? And
yeah, what about chickens?
Having scales and...
Speaking about chickens, how are you, Todd? No, I'm just... I'm sorry, couldn't resist that. I wanted to wake the rest of you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about
where did chickens come from, and how much did evolution play in the original creation?
And they got bigger and bigger. If it takes hundreds of years for reptiles, yeah, and whatever, to get bigger and change, and there's some change, is that considered evolution? Is that what they're talking about?
No. Evolution, as it's taught in the schools, is that you go from one species to another species. In other words, you evolve into a higher form of life. Everyone knows that there's evolution in the sense that the word originally meant just simply change. In other words, that you could, by interbreeding of the same kind of species, you can produce a new subspecies, okay? You can breed one dog with another dog and come up with a new dog, but a dog will never become a cat. A cat will never become a bird. In other words, you're never going to go outside of the line of the seed development.
What about these things that are being born in hospitals and everything that aren't totally human?
Those that aren't human let's look at this. First of all, they're created life. It has anything to do with it. We're not talking about evolving. Evolution is where nothing is playing except that there's a genetic DNA code in which you spontaneously erupt as a new creature, in which you never go back to your original previous lower state. That's evolution. In other words, at some point, an ape became a man. There's no They're looking for the missing link. They're never going to find it because there is no link between the beast and the man. Okay? Now, when you find these weird creatures, the Bible talks about fallen angels who have sexual experiences with humans or even with animals. And when you deal with an intelligent species dealing with another intelligent species, yes, you can produce one time. Just like a mule, you produce a new form which is non-reproducible, but you're still doing it within the matrix of it, of the design of that family. Okay, we're not talking about you can't mate with a fish being total impossibility, but you can mate outside of your class and produce. There's a monstrosity. These are the monsters. These are the giants, the Nephilim that the Bible talks about, and this comes by a one intelligent state mixing with another intelligent state, but never designed by the Creator to ever mix. That's different than evolution. That means this was caused by a sexual experience. Evolution is not a sexual experience. Evolution is a process over millions of years whereby you lose your previous lower scale of life and instantly and simultaneously erupt into a higher level of life. And this is why they're now teaching evolution-wise in the New Age, is that you will now eventually become a god, because the next stage, all of us are now right at that point where we're automatically going to be genetically controlled and we're going to pop up into a higher level and will no longer be humans again, will now become gods. In other words, that's an evolutionary concept. But everybody goes together. That's part of evolution too, and part of the evolutionary theory fed into that. Evolution only exists as the word means change. You can have change within the same species. The only way you can change a species is introduced to it from the outside, from another species of a similar kind where it could reproduce. There's some things that just will not reproduce. And that's all that means. But that's not evolution. Evolution has nothing to do with mating. Yes? Excellent question. Angels have been assumed in the church to be male. Angels are neither male nor female. We've got to somehow get that into our connotation. Okay? Now. Now, maybe I should dangle this one just so we can... No. You want me to answer this one? Huh? If they're not male, how do they produce? Right?
Thank you.
Okay. First of all, we must understand that Adam, before he fell, and before Eve was taken out of him, was male-female. He was neither male nor female, but that doesn't mean he was neither. See, our minds have stopped thinking in that realm. He was both. When the Bible says that our Heavenly Father is neither male nor female, it's true. He's both. Because everything that is came out of Him. So everything that's in the female is in deity. Everything that's in the male is in deity. And when He created what is called the B'nai Elohim are beings that have the male and female traits and therefore have within themselves the capability of both. Now, what happened was that these beings who are each of them distinctly created, designed by the Creator to not mess with each other. There's nothing in the angelic realm, like Christ said, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Because in the androgynous state where you are a complete human being, you have no need for another human being or another created being like you, because you are complete within yourself. A man is incomplete. A woman is incomplete. This is why we have an attraction, why there is a desire to mate, because I am incomplete. And that's what the Bible is. They shall become one. They're incomplete. But the B'nai Elohim are complete within themselves. The sin was that these beings decided for satanic reasons to leave their estate, as it says in Jude and 2 Peter, to leave their estate, that is their living condition where they were, and come into another dimension. Because they looked down and they saw the female, which was just a little different than the female that's in them. And they saw the male, which is a little different in them. But because they're complete and the male is the head, this means that the predominant aspect of their nature is male, so that in the Hebrew and in the Greek, they are mentioned as males, because even father is mentioned as a male. It says he, Okay, it never says she. It always says he, yet he's not a he. He is both. You understand what I'm saying? That, but the male is called the head. So when they come down, they are capable of forming a body that can take on the male characteristic. They have the ability to produce their own seed and do it within the female species, which is what happened in Genesis 6. Consequently, they brought forth a giant or a Nephilim. There's no reference in history of a male, of a angel ever messing with a male. And they were not messing with a female either, just because they were sailors on leave, as I've heard several preachers say.
They do not marry, nor are they given in marriage.
No.
And you would think marriage is supposed to be a sacred thing, a sacred covenant. Why, the angels are committing like a double sin, aren't they then?
Yes, they are.
Because they're not marrying these women. They're just having
It's total sin, because it was designed, first of all, their whole function was to destroy the Messiah from coming through the human race. Their desire was to destroy the human race. That was their plan. But in the process, they might as well enjoy it as well. And that's what they did. And what they did is that when they lowered their molecular structure into materiality, when spirit become material, they got frozen into this state, couldn't leave. And this is one of the dangers that always comes into those people. You ever heard of the golden thread? You know, people that do astral travel, they leave their body. They say that there's a umbilical cord that's attached to their soul, that's attached to their body. Huh? Silver cord. Yeah, the silver cord. And if that silver cord ever separates from their body, they can never return to their body. Now, they'll never die in the sense that they've experienced physical death, because they've already left their body. But now they're eternally separated from their body. But they can't go into heaven because they've lived in sin. They're now automatically condemned to hell, but they go before their time. So they even teach in the occult world, if you're going to leave your body, you can only be gone so long. Because if you stay gone too long, why, then you can cause a death process. You may not be able to get in, that there are spirits that will hinder you from coming back in. They even understand that, and they teach it. And there have been people who've had close calls that even talk about this. When a Christian dies, even Christians who have come back said that they saw this silver cord, this link that connects them to the physical, okay? Well, when beings who live in that dimension take on materiality, if they stay down here too long, it is what all scientists know as the solid state becomes a frozen state. That's where the word actually comes from. A frozen state is that you're frozen into a solid state, because a spirit state is a gas state. Gas state is where you have total freedom. You don't have freedom in the natural. How many know that you are literally stuck in this body? You can't walk through a wall. You're limited to what you can do in this body. They can go through walls. Nothing can hinder them. But the moment they take on a body, they are totally limited. But if they take on a body for too long, they can be frozen into this dimension. And a lot of them, I don't think, are aware of that, unless it was taught by the Creator before they fell. But this, again, is part of the deception, because the Bible says that Lucifer took one-third of the angels with him. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of created beings, and how they could be deceived to leave their Creator. The Bible doesn't even say a word about it. It simply tells us how Lucifer fell, but it doesn't tell us how one-third of the angels fell, except that Lucifer deceived them. So he must have been a pretty powerful being to take one-third of the heavenly host and pervert them and put them into his welfare. Now, here's the unique thing that most people have never considered. In the book of Enoch, it tells you that only 200 came down in Genesis 6, only 200. But the Bible tells you there are millions of them. That means that there are millions of these beings still capable of doing Satan's bidding. And that when Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, that there is going to be a repetition of angelic beings coming down. And that is what I believe is the source behind the UFOs in more than one way. First of all, these beings have never died. You think about that. How smart would you be if you never had to die and you've been around for a million years? You have a tremendous amount of knowledge. Now, all of a sudden, if you're on Satan's team, and your design is to destroy the Creator's creation, That is your job, your goal. You punch in every day. You go to a job. You go to work. You're working for Lucifer. He's paying you the wages. What are you going to do? The great master plan is they have engineered through the laws of creation the ability to take Father's creation and operate it in reverse, thereby giving... I mean, just think about this. When Adam and Eve were offered the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the word evil there is not a moral term, but is a word describing the manifestation of complete breakdown in any realm, which becomes evil to you or calamitous to you. Now, there is a tree out there that has the knowledge of evil. That is a knowledge of knowing how to produce destruction. This knowledge has been given already to the angels. It was offered to man. It was offered to Adam and Eve. Eve bit into that apple not knowing that that's what she was getting involved with, because the Bible said she was deceived, but Adam was not. But the whole human race has now been subjection into deception. So what we now think is good by getting into it becomes bad. It is now a known factor that the people who played with the atomic theories, who developed the atomic bomb is a weapon of destruction, not a weapon of good. And when the scientists were uncovering the laws of nature of how to control the atom and convert it into a negative, I believe it was done by the interplay of wisdom with beings from inner space. I believe this knowledge was communicated to those scientists who were already made a pact to live for Satan. And they received this knowledge of the tree of evil and thereby created the atomic bomb and the atomic weapons, of which now we're coming out with destructive atomic laser beams that can control the electromagnetic waves of your brain, that can cause your behavior to go berserk, that can cause many things to happen to you. And I believe that this knowledge has been communicated to the governments of the world because they've identified and made a pact between these fallen beings, these beings who left with Lucifer who knows how many years ago, but I will tell you right now, I am convinced in my heart that we're talking about something that took place millions of years ago. Now, let me just show you something for an example. In Jeremiah 4, I haven't preached on this for years, but... Hope I can remember the references, but I believe it's in Jeremiah 4 we find an amazing scripture in relationship to this. Verse 23, Jeremiah 4:23. Jeremiah is lifted up into the spirit and he has a vision. He says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form. This phrase in Hebrew, without form, is identical to Genesis 1:2. And the earth became without form. It is a very unique word in Hebrew. It means to be brought through judgment. It is a word that includes rational judgment, the result being devastation. Do you follow what I'm saying? It isn't just devastation. The average commentator today on the Bible, both Jewish and Christian, now not all Jews accept it, not all Christians accept it, but I'm going to tell you that at least 80% of all commentaries in the world written by Catholics, Protestants, and Jews on this word simply take it to mean a chaos form or a form where nothing good has come out of it yet, but it does not imply judgment. But if you go back to the ancient commentaries, this word implies judgment, that what has happened is a result of judgment because something evil took place. Now that's phenomenal. He said, I looked down and I saw the whole earth. And it was without form. That is, a judgment had taken place, and it was chaos all over the place, and you couldn't find nothing. It was totally destroyed. That's what he says. Verse 23. And void. It was without form and void. Show me anywhere in the Bible where it appears like that other than Genesis 1:2. Now, the word without form is found all through the Old Testament, and the word void is found all through the Old Testament. But when you find the phrase together, tohu vabohu, in Hebrew, without form and void, this verse and Genesis 1:2 are together. I believe that what he saw here was before Genesis 1-2. Okay? Now, it says, lo, I saw the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. That is, it was judged, destroyed, wiped out. And the heavens, notice the plural there, and the heavens, and they had no light. Yet the Bible says that in the beginning, all was light. Because that's all Father has, and that's all Father makes. Father does not create darkness. Darkness is the result of no light. So here comes the time in the history of this planet, before Adam and Eve, when there was total destruction on this earth and there was no light. He said, I beheld the mountains and they trembled and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld and lo, there was no what? What's it say?
No man.
Now the word in Hebrew is Adam. There was no Adam. He said, I looked down and I saw no Adam. Now you can't look anywhere on this earth day without seeing Adam. They were.
Well, he said he couldn't see the Adamic race, but were there other races that were here?
No. No. This predates all of that. This predates Genesis 1-2. See, I believe that the black race and the Oriental race were created on the fourth, on the end of the third day. That's in my 10 tapes on creation. Anybody remember that? Enid does, yeah. Well, we talked about this. Remember the trees? Remember my series on the trees? On the trees? Notice what day he created the trees. Notice what day he created the trees. Okay. It says, and Elohim said, verse 11, Elohim, this is Genesis 1, verse 11, Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Isn't it after his kind? Isn't that amazing? His kind. How many know that trees are hymns? How many know that trees are male there? And let him bring forth seed. That's male. Didn't say bring forth eggs, they let him bring forth seed. That's a male term. After his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and Elohim saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the third day.
I still don't see how that has to do with an
Oriental or black. Well, I'm trying to explain that to you. I can't explain it in one sentence. I have to give you the scenario. Okay, this was the third day. I believe that the black race and the Oriental race were created there because they are the trees, other trees that were in the garden. There were trees in the garden, family trees, which we discussed when we went through the book of Ezekiel, that he said he went back and he saw the Assyrian tree. How many know about the Christ tree? That Christ came out of a branch, out of dry ground. And so these are taken as genealogy trees. That the book of Genesis is not just a history of natural creation. And I've always held that Genesis 1 is not the story of physical, biological creation. And I can prove that. The Bible says, if you look carefully, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, Elohim bara created the heavens and the earth. You don't find that word bara anymore, but two other times. One, when it deals with certain creatures on the fifth day and man on the sixth day. All other things, the word create is not there at all, but it's another Hebrew word meaning to make, which in Hebrew means making or bringing something from something that already exists. But to create implies that it never existed before. Okay? Now, in Exodus 20, the first commandment, up to the fourth commandment, it talks about when it says, remember the seventh day and keep it holy, for in 6 days he created all things, right? In 6 days he created. But these 6 days, there are no creation. These are all making, which tells us that this is a reforming. like we're a new creation in Christ. That word to create is in the New Testament found only once. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now I want to ask you a question. In your new creation, are you still the old you? Now don't jump to conclusions. Think. Use your brain now. Use your brain. Are you still you? Yeah, you're still you. You get born again. You still got the same teeth. If you had one wicked tooth before you got saved, you still got one wicked tooth after you get saved. If you were bald-headed before you got saved, you're still bald-headed after you get saved.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So the new creation hasn't got anything to do with your natural life or with your soul. It has to do with a spiritual experience. You follow what I'm saying? So in the creation is an act of spiritual things only. Nowhere is the word create involved in the physical, biological sense of the word. Same thing with creation. Creation originally was 100% spiritual. Every atom in this universe, primarily in its original condition, was spiritual. In that sense, it was created. But Genesis 1 has nothing to do with creation. It has to do with recreation. I want to show you this. From Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2 is what is called the gap theory in theology. There's a gap between Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. And my contentions were, years ago when I preached on this, and it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The word create there, bara, literally means to not only bring forth that which never existed before, but listen to how theologians have perverted it. To this day, you can turn on your Christian radio and it will say, He created out of nothing. You ever heard that phrase? He created out of nothing. Hogwash. He doesn't create out of nothing. He did create that which never existed, but the Bible says that when he created out of himself. He is something. Okay? There is no such thing as having come from nothing. So Father creates from himself, but because he is good, because he is holy, because he is glorious, therefore he can't create anything that also isn't holy and good and glorious and shiny. There is no death in him. He therefore can't create death. You follow? That was in the creation. In the beginning, the heavens and the earth were a glorious creation. And that includes all the hosts that he made were glorious. Are you with me? Now, Genesis 1:2. Hang in there. You want answers? I'm giving you the basis of the answers without which you won't understand. Genesis 1:2, and the earth became. That's the Hebrew. And the earth became without form and void. The word became means a cataclysm happened, a judgment happened. What happened that caused Genesis 1:2 to where Father had to redo everything following the model of the original, which was 6 days of creation? All right? This is what we find in Jeremiah 4. Here's what I want you to see. I beheld, verse 25, and lo, there was no Adam. Now, when Jeremiah was writing, he was a member of the Adam race. The whole earth at that point in history was filled with Adam. But here was the point in history when there was no Adam. And the only time that you find there was no Adam, the only time is a time previous to a Vavahu. Now, if there were blacks and if there were Orientals who lived before then, I don't know of anybody who can live through a cataclysm that is universal. There was nothing living on this planet. Nothing living on this planet. Now, every theologian knows that Satan had to fall at some point before the Garden of Eden. Right? Now, if Satan fell before the Garden of Eden, when did he fall? And so theories. Well, he fell on the second day. He fell on the third day. He fell on the fourth day. He fell on the fifth day. Or he fell at the beginning of the sixth day. But he definitely didn't fall after the end of the sixth day. You follow? He was already fallen, and he was already there in the garden to deceive Adam and Eve. That's a point. The black race and the Oriental race were already here when Adam was made. That's historical, archaeological fact. But they certainly didn't predate Genesis 1-2, because there were no races here in Genesis 1-2. The whole earth. But what Jeremiah is saying, I'm looking at a day when Adam was not here, because he's talking to the Adam race. He's not talking to any other race. It's not a racial issue. He's talking, that's like me talking to my family. I'm not, although there's other families out there, I'm not talking to those families. I'm talking to my family. Jeremiah was talking to his people. And he says, lo, there was no Adam. This is a time previous. Something went on long before Adam ever got here. And this was before the black race. This was before the Oriental race. This is before there were any races as we know them today. There was something that happened. And you're getting a vision, I believe, of where Lucifer was on this earth before he ever fell, before there was ever man like we know him today. Are you with me? Verse 25, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, Adam, and all the birds of the heavens were what?
Fled.
Now, all the birds of the heavens did not flee in the Noah flood. There were still birds in the air. They had birds in the ark. But this was a day when all the birds had fled. In other words, you couldn't find a bird anywhere, even in the heavens. I mean, this thing included from the top down, okay? Nothing. Verse 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. The word wilderness means to be made barren. From being once fruitful, it now becomes a wilderness. Wilderness does not imply just desert. It does not just imply emptiness. It implies at one time it was productive, and now there's nothing. This was the astonishment. And all this, now look at the next verse. Powerful. And all the cities... What, wait a minute. There was no Adam. There were no birds. But there were cities. There were cities. Now, how many know you can't have a city without people? You with me? And all the cities were broken down at the presence of Yahweh and by His fierce anger. A time of judgment so profound had come on every city upon this planet. And this was something that took place long before Adam and Eve were ever made. This was before Genesis 1-2. All we know, all history known, all any Christian know, fact is that Father created everything originally. We all know that. Somehow we end up with what we have today. What happened in between? Nobody knows. And the stories they try to tell contradict reality, and this is why we have confusion. Once you put Jeremiah 4 in there and explain it in this light, you no longer have a contradiction. Now follow me. All the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Yahweh and by His fierce anger. Now, I believe that there were nations upon this earth before Genesis 1-2. I believe that Lucifer, before he fell, ruled those cities and those nations. I do not know what kind of people were here. But I do know, the Bible says that the devil is an ancient person. Very ancient. I believe that Lucifer ruled here in his glory days, and he could have easily ruled for thousands of years. Think about it. There was no death anywhere in the universe. And he ruled people. He ruled nations. He said, wait a minute, where do you get the fact that he ruled nations? Okay, well, that part is found in Isaiah 14. Okay, now, Isaiah 14, the fall of Lucifer, beginning with verse 12, Isaiah 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven? So we know that wherever he was in heaven before he fell, right? But I want to show you something about heavenly earth that's also in this verse. O Lucifer, which means light bearer, his primary function was to be a light bearer or to bear witness to light. That was his occupation. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? In other words, he was from heaven to ground. Now, the word for ground there is Adamah, or earth. And thou didst weaken the nations. Do you see that? There it is right there. You weakened the nations. That meant that he was ruling the nations. How many nations? Plural, not a singular, is it? Said he ruled the nations. He was a sovereign ruler over all the nations. Now you will find ethnic culture goes back long before Adam and Eve. Long before Adam and Eve. You will find colored, when I use the word colored, you know, today it means black, but I use the word color to meaning all the varieties of color that's within a human species. He weakened the nation. What is a nation? A national distinction involving color. Thou didst weaken the nations, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of Elohim. Now, if you get, first of all, Lucifer's fall was a fall by saying, I will, meaning that in the original creation, although you had a will, the will was totally made to be dependent on Father. All beings were created with a will. That is the ability to make a choice. No different than your ability to make a choice. And how many know you can't make a choice without rationality? You have to have the ability to reason. You have to have the ability to think. You have to have the ability to feel. It's automatic. I will exalt my throne. I will exalt my throne above the stars, which we've talked about before. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, which meant there was a congregation. Same as Israel was supposed to be a type and shadow of the original congregation. When we come together on Sabbath or on a Bible study, it is the coming together of the congregation, which means the assembly of Yahweh. This means that when we come together, Yahweh is present to deal with us. And he says in that day that he wanted to sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And there's that word north. He wanted to get into the north, but he couldn't get in. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. What clouds? Cumulus clouds? No. The clouds that we're going to be caught up into. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? And remember, we talked about this before. Is this the man? Is this the Ish? That made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms. Thou that made the world as a wilderness. See that? He made the world, the whole world, as a wilderness. There was a time when there was no wilderness. You got to understand that. There was no wilderness. Only one person made the wilderness. Lucifer, when he fell. And destroyed the cities thereof. There were cities. There were nations. And you opened not the house of the prisoners. And all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. And on it goes. I just want you to see that Lucifer, before Genesis 1-2, ruled this planet with people on it, with cities, with nations. Now, let's go back to Genesis 1:26 and look at something startling. Genesis 1:26. And Elohim said, let us make man, not man now, it doesn't say man in the Hebrew. Let us make Adam in our image, first of all implying that there was Adam, but not in his image. Let us make Adam. He didn't say let us make Adam. He didn't say let us make man. He added a phrase, let us make man in our image. Now, I'm putting that phrase in there so you can grasp what's going to be said in the next verse. Because without this thought, you can't receive the next thought. Okay? Let us make Adam in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, now watch this. Be fruitful. What is Father's command? By the way, Father gave five commands to Adam and Eve. Five commands. Be fruitful. Is that sexual? The average church thinks that's a sexual term, meaning have children. Well, that's true. Doesn't necessarily mean sexual, but the church takes this as being that. Now watch this. And multiply. In other words, Father's got this sexual connotation going here, and he's really trying to add to it. This is in every commentary. This is what all the churches teach, and I'm trying to show it's ridiculous. We've got a nudie cutie in the vegetable garden. We've got a man that is totally naked, and the only thing he was ever told to do was have kids. That's not true, folks, but that's in all of our theology. And I'm doing that because I want to emphasize that the five things he told you, stop being nervous, Patty, I'm getting there. Be fruitful and multiply, and what? What's the next word? And replenish. What does the word replenish mean? Yeah, do it again. In other words, you don't replenish that which has never been.
But it doesn't mean that he necessarily had to replenish with the Adamic race. It just means this is what I've never heard you say this before. You really got me on this. I've never heard you even.
I've been preaching this for 8 years.
Not that part. Not that Adam was recreated like that.
Yes.
I've never heard you say that.
Yes. Yeah. Replenish. To replenish means there was people like you before, and I want you to once again fill this earth. Now, when Noah got off the ark, Father gives him the same commandments as he gave Adam. Same. Replenish the earth. Now, so replenish implies there were people here before Adam. That's all I want to get at this point. I want you to understand that. It means there were people here before, because if there was nobody here and Adam was the first man, he would not have used the word replenish, because in Hebrew there's a word meaning to fill for the first time, and there's also a word that means replenish, which means to refill, and that's the Hebrew word used here meaning to refill, meaning there's been fillings before or there's been man before, and that's what it's saying.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, then who replenishes the black
and oriental race? You have to get the whole picture. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay? So what we have is a creation that fell. When I was into Ephesians, we talked a lot about the word before the foundations of the earth. Remember that? We were chosen in Him before the foundations. And then I told you that the word foundation means literally before the casting down. That's the Hebrew word, ekbalo. Same word used for casting out demons. Before the earth was cast down. And all through the Bible, we were chosen in Him before. The word foundation is wrong. In Hebrew and Greek, it is not founded. There's another word for foundation, meaning the principal structure upon which you build. It does not say that we were chosen in Him upon the foundation. It does not say that at all. What it says is before the earth was cast down. When was the earth cast down? It was cast down between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Okay? Now, once we understand, now, when we talk about Atlantis, which is today the only thing we know about the word Atlantis, is the Atlantic Ocean. Every body of water in the world is named after a land mass. The Atlantic Ocean is the only body of water that is named after nothing we can see. So in the course of history, they have decided to call certain mountains by Atlantic mountains that are in several parts of the world to somehow intimate that that's how the Atlantic Ocean got named, but we believe that the land that's under the Atlantic Ocean, particularly off the Florida Keys and off the Bahama Islands, underneath it was originally the lost continent of Atlantis, because we find that if you go down there with little submarines, you can see miles of paved street. You can see buildings and houses, and this thing goes back well over 10,000 years ago. And I believe this is pre-flood Noah. I believe it was the land where Adam and Eve lived, but in the ancient writings of Atlantis that Plato writes about, that he got from the Egyptian priest that came out of the house of Enoch when it was brought into Egyptian knowledge, talks about three major earth-shaking revolutions where the whole planet had been destroyed three times. Now, when we come to our Bible, we only find one. Now, either they had their history mixed up, or the history was correct, the Bible only tells us about one. Now, I have a theory. Anytime that there's a judgment and everything is wiped out, in order for you to have anything, it's got to be recreated. Isn't that right? Now, I believe that whatever races are on this planet today had to be there for after Genesis 1-2. And you only have two places to find these races in Genesis, after Genesis 1-2. They were either all made in Adam, which is impossible, because white seed cannot produce black seed. Black seed cannot produce white seed. Brown seed cannot produce black seed or white seed. There is a debate whether there are three distinctive... This is in biology, by the way. They don't know whether to classify, and there's a debate over this, whether there are three classic races on this planet, or five, or seven. Now, when you go into the occult world, they tell you there are seven absolute distinct races. Now, regardless of whether you believe in one race, three races, five races, seven races, we still got a problem. And what I'm trying to say is that whatever races we have to be following Genesis 1-2. Before Genesis 1-2, there were other races. They're not here today. Nowhere. There's no one living today on this planet that can claim their genealogy back before Genesis 1-2. But there were races and nations before, meaning that whatever we have today is being duplicated from before. But before, what we find is that the person who ruled this planet that brought the last judgment was Lucifer. That we know for sure. And Lucifer, by the way, is still around. Right? He's still around. I mean, that turkey has lived for a long, long time. Now, if this is all true, and knowing that Father creates everything in a perfect state, in intelligence, apart from evolution, therefore the first civilization must have been the most advanced civilization that has ever been, or it would not have been said to have fallen. We are in a fallen state. You cannot be in a fallen state if we are the most advanced of the race has ever been, which is what evolution tells us today. We're the most advanced it has ever been. No, folks, this race hasn't got yet to where it was before. We haven't even gotten to where it was in the days of Noah. We haven't got anywhere near where it was in the days of Adam, let alone get to the way it was before Adam. There is profound knowledge that is out there. We have had people who have uncovered in archaeology going miles into the earth, miles. How many know that when you go down miles, we're talking about something that is really ancient history? And guess what they bring up sometimes, these people that go offshore and they drill down deep, or they dig oil wells in other places, and maybe they'll go down a mile or so. It's amazing what comes up. You know what they've come up with? Human artifacts that are as modern as today. One example was either a 4 or a 5 inch solid steel nail, still finely polished, within a solid rock that had definitely been here for probably more than 1 million years. How did that nail get in there, miles down in the earth, where no one was even living near. There's no concept of any civilization being in that part of the globe, and yet there is that aspect. They have uncovered shoes, just like we have today, in hundreds of miles down, I mean, not hundreds of miles, thousands of feet under the earth that go back way into the aeons of history, but they're as modern as today. There have been races who have come and gone. Father made the races distinct. That we must understand. But for this age, from Genesis 1-2 on, something unique has taken place. In the races, the Bible distinguishes and breaks them down using various words for those races to show it. One of those words which you find in Hebrew in the type and shadow thing is the word tree. A tree represents a specific kind of race. We find this in the book of Ezekiel. When you go back and get my series on the trees of the garden, And I mention a lot about there's almost two complete chapters in Ezekiel that talk about the trees of the garden. Remember that? Now, we could go ahead and read it. I just can't remember what chapter it's in. Unless somebody can remember what chapter of Ezekiel it's in. I think it's somewhere in the 30s, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. It's somewhere near. But it talks about the trees of the Garden of Eden. And then when it talks about them, it calls them by national names. That trees are national, some kind of a symbol. Each tree follow some kind of a national symbol. For instance, cedars of Lebanon in Israel. But this became the national tree of Israel, or for the house of David, the spiritual house. So a tree and a race become combined. The oak has always been identified with a certain people. Various trees represent various nations. So when on the third day he brought forth trees, that brought forth fruit. And what's the first thing he told Adam to do? Be fruitful. So what are fruit trees for? To produce fruit. When you get saved, why does he call you a fruit tree? Psalms 1, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And we know that that is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In other words, everything created is designed to be a type and shadow of a reality spiritual thing. Everything. So the trees in the Bible are not just biological trees, but these are trees that represent national peoples or distinction. Now, Adam was told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but there were many other trees in the garden. And he could communicate with them, right? But he could not eat of the tree of life. The tree of life has always been the genealogy tree of Christ. Because showing that you cannot have a blood relationship with Christ unless you are born from above. You have to be born to get into a tree. Only a tree can produce a tree. You can't just become a Christ tree by eating of the tree. You have to become part of that. So he couldn't partake of it in the realm in which he was at. So it stood separately. When Christ died on the tree, and why he had to die on a tree, that when he rose from the dead, he's now able to give us life, and each of us now becomes a tree of life. Now the nations can eat of him through us, and that's what communion is all about. Are you with me so far? So now when we go back, let me show you in Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any what? Beast. Now I get angry when I read that word. Because the word beast there is not beast.
Don't get angry at me, I just quoted
it. I know. But you see, because we don't know Hebrew, we read this and we just assume. Now, we know that there was Adam and Eve, and everybody thinks, well, there was just Adam and Eve. Who in the world is this person here? Number one, it's called a serpent, but we know it wasn't the serpent. Yet that's the Hebrew phrase that's used. Now, the serpent was more subtle than what? Than any beast of the field. Who are the beast of the field? Are we talking? Now, there is a line of theologians who come along and say, well, you see, before Adam sinned, we had talking animals. This is one view. I was taught this in Bible school. Animals talked. This serpent was a amphibious form that walked on its tablet. It had legs. It didn't have a single little tail like we see a snake today. It actually had in its preform. Now, if you can believe that, why, you know, you can believe almost anything. See, we teach things in Bible school to our pastors today that are just as hard to believe as the facts, and yet they won't accept facts, but they'll accept some piece of fiction. Because I'm trying to explain who this creature is. And because in King James it says beast of the field, it does not say beast of the field in Hebrew. You won't find, and the word cannot be translated beast any more than the word, the four living creatures or the four beasts in the book of Revelation. How many know that that can't be translated beast there? But how many of you understand that the word in Revelation 4 is the same word for Revelation or Genesis chapter 3? Same word. Isn't that a shocker? Now, whoever this person was, whatever this thing was, we know that this individual, and I'm going to call him an individual, because only individual people can think, only individual people can talk. Are you with me? Whoever this thing was, it talked, it thought, it communicated, right? And it was not Adamic. And in Hebrew, the particular word here means a two-legged, talking human being. He was more subtle than any of the two-legged human beings. Now, that's one instance. How about when Cain leaves his home? There's already other cities, and he already finds a woman of another kind somewhere else. Who did Cain marry? He didn't marry his sister. He didn't marry anybody from the Adam race. And in secular archaeology, we find out who he did marry. Cain was a white man who married a black woman. That is history, and it's in the archaeological archives, and it's found in the clay tablets of Babylon. And what are they doing there? It's listed, folks. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, any living creature. Remember I said this is the one where Jonah is told to call Babylon to repent. What does he tell Babylon? I command every man and woman and beast of the field to repent and to wear sackcloth. Now, if that's a beast, I want to find out why an animal has to repent, number one, and why an animal has to wear sackcloth. No, it means a creature outside of the Adamic race. That means that there were other people. Well, where did this people come from? He had to be somewhere between Genesis 1-2 and Genesis 3-1. Where did he make the beast of the field? There's another form. These aren't even trees. Where did he make the beast of the field? Let's go back and you'll find them found on the, I believe it's on the sixth day. Elohim said, let the earth, verse 24, Genesis 1:24, let the earth bring forth what? Living creature after his kind. And then there's a comma. And then cattle, comma, and creeping things, and the what? Beast of the earth after his kind. Now the word beast there, again, is the same word. Living human being. And Elohim made the beast of the earth. Now notice there's a beast of the earth. This was a beast of the field, wasn't it? What's the difference between a beast of the earth and a beast of the field? These are different expressions in Hebrew. These are two-legged because this word used is never used of animals. It's never used of a four-legged being. That's a Hebrew fact, folks. This word is never used of a four-legged being. It's only a two-legged being. And these people were made before there was Adam, who was made at the end of the sixth day. So we find two-legged, talking human beings made. And unfortunately, the King James people called them beasts. They were not beasts. The word literally means living human being. Who are they? I believe that Father made the black race, the Oriental race, the red race, the brown race. He made all of the races unique and distinct, did not want them to interbreed for genetic purposes, and each of them were made in such a way that they were designed to worship the Creator upon this earth. In their racial history, And every race has its own unique calling before the Father. They were not an oracle people. And this is why Adam was made in his image, meaning you're to be my oracle people. I'm going to put a unique gift that's going to separate you from the rest of the races. Your job is to be my oracle people. Now, if we ever grasp this thought and get it down, what makes us unique, we're to be the servant races to the rest of the races to teach them Father's word and law. What I'm trying to show you is that races didn't come out of Adam. Races were here before Adam, and you got too many problems with the Bible if you don't see it. And the only two places that the church has ever been able to find even the black man, and they'll never find the Oriental man. I don't understand why. They can find the black man in the Bible. They can't find the Oriental in the Bible. Why not? Because they assume, therefore, that everybody came out of Adam. And you only got two answers. And listen to how ridiculous this sounds. Ask any theologian today, where did the black man come from? Where did the Oriental come from? Where did the white man come from? Well, it's quite simple. Noah had three sons. And after the flood, why Shem became the Oriental, Japheth was the white man, and Ham became the black man. Case over. That's good Baptist theology, but that's not Bible. How in the world can Noah have three distinct racial beings that have maintained their racial types to this day? It's not within the seed to do that. And then the second subdivision to that is, because Ham was cursed, Ham therefore was white, Ham produces his son who sins, and therefore his seed, which means the remainder of that seed became cursed, and the curse therefore became a black race. So that the black people are a curse. Well, if the black people are a curse, and the white people are not a curse, then who are the Orientals? Neither? See, this doesn't make sense. And the only other definition that the church has to offer you is that Cain, the mark of Cain, was that he became black. Father turned his skin black. That was his mark. And so no matter how you look at it, from a Christian standpoint, they only got two places for the black man to come from. Either case, he's a curse. Folks, this is untrue, and it is not fair to the black race to tell them they're a product of a curse and that therefore they ought to be beaten down and therefore they ought to be slaves. There is no Bible knowledge to teach us in any way, shape, or form that any race is designed to be treated as a slave. And you'll never get that until you realize that every race was created specifically by the Creator, pure and unique, and has a divine purpose before Him. And in their divine racial calling, they fell. They fell. But how many understand that the original fall of every race was tied to Lucifer, who caused the nations to weaken, who deteriorated the races? It was Lucifer. Now listen, in the New Testament it says that Christ came in the epistle of 1 John 3, that Christ came to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Now, what was he called? The second Adam. What was the first Adam? Then Adam was made to destroy the works of the devil, who had already infiltrated the black race and the Oriental race. And the white race was developed to become an oracle race to redeem them, because when Christ came, what did he come for? To redeem. Therefore, in redeeming me today through Christ, the second Adam, my job is still not changed. I am still to go out there, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion by reaching all that is lost through the curse, through Lucifer, and to help them redeem their race. My job is not to isolate the races. My job is not to judge the races. My job is not to make them like me. My job is to restore them to their original calling. Nobody knows they have original calling because it's not taught today in American churches. This is still taught, by the way, in some European churches. This was the doctrine taught in England up till 100 years ago. I wonder who's caused the change. There are distinct races. And there are races that are post-Genesis 1-2, there are races that are pre-Genesis 1-2. Now, because I have no knowledge of pre-Genesis 1-2, I couldn't tell you what kind of race existed. Now, I will tell you this. Whether these are the bones of the giants, or whether these are bones that take us back to the original race, which is a possibility, they have uncovered out there bones that are 30 feet in length. Archaeologists have uncovered complete human beings, male and female species, that are 30 feet in length. Why do you find this archaeology book, but you don't find it in any history book? Because, you see, the Bible leaves room for that. evolution leaves no room, because you don't degenerate in evolution, you accelerate. You go from a zero to a plus. The Bible teaches not uniformitarianism, which is the evolutionary doctrine. It teaches catastrophism, which means that there were catastrophes that took place that stopped it. These bones date back hundreds of thousands of years. Is it possible that the first race of human beings were 30 and 40 feet tall? Masculine, muscular, power. I mean, how big is father? I mean, some of you got father no bigger than 5'7". Do you really think when you get up there you're going to look at deity who made this whole creation? He's just going to be a simple little old man with a white beard? Folks, we got to realize this thing's big. And he can make anything he wants. He can make giants. Bible said there were giants on this earth before, during, and after. There's going to be giants again. The biggest thing we got today in the freak shows is only about 9 feet tall. Once in a while you'll find something in history that's 12 or 13 feet tall. But 30 feet? Where do you define these people? Where do you define these dinosaurs and these paradactyls and birds that are as big as 747s. These things existed, folks. We got the bone structure. Nobody made them up. They're real. Father made them. There was a civilization. And they've uncovered some of the books that go back to the civilization. And the further back to go, the more advanced the language gets. And then they find out that in some of their writings, as they've been able to translate it, that there were star wars. There were wars between universes. This thing's big. Not only are we moving towards that concept of universal war, we came from that. And I believe that's part of the fall that we've come into. Can we kind of hold that? No, thank you. I just want you to see that in trying to answer your question, Patty, that this thing encompasses a multitude of questions and a multitude of situations, but it has one very important thought that you and I must pay attention to. What is Father's plan overall? See, if I don't know Father's plan overall, I don't even know what His plan is for me. If I don't know what His plan is for me, how do I know what part I'm to play in the larger plan? But I've never been taught the larger plan. There's a big plan here, and it's all through the Bible. Why was Jeremiah, for Pete's sake, lifted up into a vision and shown this earth before Genesis 1-2? That most scholars won't even accept the fact that there's a gap between Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2. But it's in the Hebrew. You can't get away from it. And anybody who teaches it is condemned, and yet some of the greatest theologians of the church have taught this and preached it for centuries. That there is a universal cosmic plan of which you and I today are a part of this universal plan. Right now, we must destroy the destroyer who destroyed this massive creation. This creation goes into other dimensions, into other realms. How big is this universe? Some of you have heard me preach on how big this universe is. But as big as this universe is, it's nothing compared to the inner dimensions of the universe. There are multifaceted universes. This thing is so big, folks. When you see Christ, do you really think you're going to be able to sit down and have a simple Bible study? You're going to see things that's going to blow your brains. This thing is so big, so magnificent, you're going to sit there and probably for the next 1,000 years go, wow, wow, wow. You're going to be totally raptured. This thing is so big. Why didn't they teach me that? It would have helped me live a better. It would have given me strength to go on. It would have given me a challenge to fight. But because I'm trying to figure out how to just exist, I don't see myself in a relationship to a bigger plan. All of these things have plans. Your racial identity is to be identified with a plan that deals with something bigger than your personal salvation. This is not to segregate the races. This is to teach that Father made the races, and He didn't make one to be inferior to another or superior than another, but that He made each one to have a special characteristic into blessing and moving together as one. And the Bible says that when all things are finally settled in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, that He's going to gather together all things in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, in Christ. That means that all the civilizations that have previously existed, you're being brought into their relationship because you and I will help in the judgments and in the restoration of these things in the coming age. Part of your job in the millennium is to deal with these past civilizations, to deal with them in their resurrection, to deal with them in their judgments, to deal with them in your rule of glory as it goes throughout the universe and into multi-dimensions. Father says many dimensions. That's what the word heavens means, dimensions. The first heaven is simply the physical dimension. Physical dimension includes all the stars and the suns and the planets and the universes that we see physically. But how about the second dimension? The second heavens. That's the realm of your mind. But your mind is so biological, so physical, that you don't see anything past this dimension. And yet that's the realm where all of Satan's hordes are. That's the realm where Satan is. That's the realm where demons are. And when you get born again, you're brought into the third heavens. You're brought into the third dimension. A dimension that is above Satan's dimension. And when you and I learn to walk in the Spirit and learn to walk in the heavenlies and sit with Him in heavenly places, the Bible says we are above all powers and principalities that are antagonistic to you and the Father. And until I see that I am above, in-dimensional, interspatial being, you know, the whole world's going bananas over UFOs, poltergeists, paranormal things. They're all, what is this? What's happening? Something weird, something bigger than us. Folks, I'm trying to tell you, the thing is, we're bigger than them. We feel like just little peons at times. Don't you feel like, well, what am I? You are bigger than all of it. And Father gave you the mind to reach out and understand His mind. He's the Creator and you're His kid. You're to understand His creation. So when Christ came at the age of 12, what did He say? I must be about what? My Father's business. And some of you need to understand that there's business to take care of. And this business is cosmic minded. Now, do you know what the theme of the New Age is? Cosmic Genesis. You can find it all through the New Age. The word cosmic is used like Christ is used among Christians. Cosmic. It's a cosmic design. Cosmic design. Cosmic music. Everything is cosmic. Well, the Bible says Satan's the god of the cosmos. But you know what? We're bigger than the cosmos. We're bigger than it. Ours is interdimensional. We don't only have beings that come from another dimension. I have the ability to penetrate them all. I have a nature that can penetrate into the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth. Wow. Didn't even know there were that many. I am a massive being. I am created with the talents of Father. And I'm designed to be a restorer. What a heavy truth. Amen? I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. I'm connected to the whole creation. And there's only two kinds of creations out there, the good and the bad. Now let me just close with a little dangler. Receive this message, blessed by the Holy Spirit, that all that would hear this tape would be encouraged to dig deeper into the things of the Word and realize how wonderful we are made and how marvelous is our Creator and how big is His creation. We marvel and thank You that we're new creations in You and we've been designed to be able to communicate with You and to enjoy You and enter into a new dimensional relationship with You. That we can enjoy You not just on a physical basis, but we can enjoy You on an everlasting spiritual domain in which You live, rule, and reign, and in which there are no enemies and no evil. Thank You, Father. You are going to lift us up above all destructive elements. In that day of the resurrection, in the day of Your glory, in us and through us, we will shine like the stars and we will radiate in Your glorious universe as Your B'nai Elohim. We praise You and glorify You for these matchless truths in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me turn this off and then we're going to...